We bid you welcome to the very first Lord's Day of a new month. As we enter into the winter time, officially into December, we're here to worship God and we're going to join together in the singing of the hymn 641, this hymn that speaks about revival. Revive thy work, O Lord, thy mighty arm make bare, speak with the voice that wakes the dead, and make thy people hear. Stand to sing. Psalm for today, as we come to the next psalm, is the Psalm 95. Let's read it together as we come to the throne of heavenly grace. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Ending the reading there at verse 11, at the end of the chapter, we know that God will bless his word. We've been thinking very much about our sister, Dorothy McGookin, who's been in hospital and is very seriously ill in these days. And we want to remember her especially. These hours and these days that the Lord will be with her. Others that are laid aside. Just heard this morning again that our sister Maureen Connolly is suffering a lot of pain. And if we could remember her in prayer, that would be appreciated by the family. Let's seek the Lord together. Call upon his name. Our gracious God, we come before the presence of the Almighty today in worship, in praise, and adoration. We thank you for every blessing that you've given to us, the temporal, the physical blessings that we enjoy, and most of all, the spiritual blessings that we have in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize at the beginning of our season of worship that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We acknowledge, Lord, therefore, all that we have, it's of the Lord, and we praise you for it today. We thank thee most of all for the redemptive work of our Savior, the shedding of the blood upon the cross, the paying of our debt when he stood in our stead, taking our place fully, representing us there in all that he came to do in his life and in his death. And we can say in the words of that little poem, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, upon another's life and death I stake my whole eternity. We're glad today that we're not trusting to ourselves for salvation. We know that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not in anything that we could do, not in anything that we could inherit, not in anything that we could perform or achieve in our lifetime. And should we try from now until the end of our days, we could never achieve anything that would be meritorious in the sight of God. But we owe everything to Christ. And Lord, we thank you for redemption through the blood of our Savior. And we enjoy today, therefore, the forgiveness of sins and peace with God and entitlement to heaven. We're going there one day, going by and by to the palace of a king. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you for the assembly of the saints. Thank you, Lord, for health and strength enabling us to be here. We're conscious that there are those that are laid aside through infirmity who would love to be in the house of God, but they haven't got the health to enjoy that permits them to be here. Some of them are listening in on the internet today, and we pray especially for them that you will bless them just where they are. May they know the overwhelming sense of the presence of God. And though they're not met physically with us, we pray that they will enjoy the worship of the Lord, that they will feel the benefit of tuning in today and being part of this service. Speak to them through your word. Speak through the songs that we sing. May the Lord be glorified in all of our lives. Thank the Lord for the news that we received last week on Friday of a dear man away down in South Armagh that sought the Lord and found Christ the Savior. We pray that you'll bless him and strengthen him even in the midst of his illness, and may he grow in grace and in the knowledge of God and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ just where he is. We pray that you will remember this people for good. We've come here to meet principally with God. Speak to us. Let us not be like those that we have read about in this psalm, whose hearts were hard, whose hearts indeed were rebellious against God. And even though God had spoken and spoken clearly, they heeded him not. O Lord, let us not walk a pathway of disobedience in this world, but help us to obey the Lord. to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Your word has told us today, if we hear your voice, that we're not to harden our hearts. And Lord, as you speak to us, and we believe you will in this service, may we not harden ourselves against God, harden ourselves against truth, harden ourselves against the divine will of God for our lives. But Lord, make us pliable in your hand. Thou art the potter. We're the clay. Mold us now and make us after your will. Do you remember Dorothy for good? You know her situation this moment. And we commit her once again collectively into your hands. And we pray that you will strengthen her and be with her. We do rejoice that she has a peace of heart, the peace of God that passes all understanding. And we know that the joy of the Lord is her strength. But Lord, in the midst of weakness, be her portion. Stand with her. Be with her in the hospital ward today. Remember our dear sister mourning as well, suffering pain. Lord, we pray that in this time of distress, that she'll prove the Lord and your sufficiency for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. We bid you welcome to the house of God in the Savior's precious name. Good to see all who've come. Very glad to have Martin and his wife Debbie and his family all the way from Portaferry. They didn't travel from Portaferry this morning, but they were nearby and able to come to worship with us here. And brother, we bid you welcome in the Savior's great name. I want to remind you of the gospel service tonight at 7. There will be a time of congregational singing of carols, and I want to preach on the purpose of God in the incarnation of Christ. And there is a text that is upon my mind and heart, and that was even confirmed again this morning as I was reading it, something that was sent to me. So pray for us. Come to the prayer meeting at 6:15 as we call upon the Lord collectively. We're hoping to get pallets off to Romania this week or the following week at the latest. And if anyone is free tomorrow morning, and I know it's work time for many of you, but if anyone is free at 9:00 tomorrow just to help with the packing, that would be very, very much appreciated. This is what we're endeavoring to do. The pallets are, these ones that we've got are going to be built up. They are of a wooden structure, so good and strong to get these things out to Romania. And a lot of stuff has come in, and we want to thank all who have been involved in this. Thursday night is the midweek service. We have been doing a study in the Holy Spirit, and we want to follow on that study by coming to the fruit of the Spirit. Many of the children learned the 9 fruits of the Spirit, and we're going to preach on them. And we certainly encourage the older children and young people to be at the prayer meeting on a Thursday night if possible. Friday night, the Youth Fellowship will be going to deliver some gifts to the seniors, as they like to do, and they're meeting here at the church at 7:00. Unfortunately, due to restrictions, we're asking our young people not to go into your homes. You'll be disappointed at that, but they'll come to your door. They'll be able to have a wee chat just on the doorstep and hand over some gifts from the Youth Fellowship. Next Lord's Day begins with the prayer meeting, 8:00, Sabbath school, 10:30. The Bible class at 10:30. Mervyn will continue with the theme, the incarnation of Christ. The worship service, 12:00, and then our Christmas neighbor night service at 7, with the prayer meeting preceding that. I want to thank you sincerely for your tithes and offerings to God's work. And just to remind you, it's Let the Bible Speak envelopes and the missionary covenant support that's due in today. Can I, on your behalf, congratulate Daniel Glenn? Daniel had a significant birthday on Wednesday when he came of age again. I suppose you come of age twice now, 18 and then 21. And we do rejoice with Daniel in getting to his 21st birthday. We do ask you to continue to remember the sick and the needy before the throne of grace in prayer. We showed a few slides on Wednesday night. Just want to ask the congregation here to continue to pray for these children. This is Peter on the left-hand side, and he's running this orphanage for the children. And we were able to, from the church here, send out a gift to buy the children clothes and blankets for the winter time, and also some food so that they could enjoy a meal together. So I want to thank you on their behalf, and they say a big thank you to the Hebron Church. We continue to support the 90 orphan children in India. And again, these are pictures from this week and the distribution that has been taking place out to the 45 different locations where these children are found. Will you not pray for them? A witness is being made to them. They're not only getting food, but they're getting the gospel, and that is so important. We had the opportunity on Friday to speak to the young people of Grace Academy. That's in Pakistan. And it was delightful just to see the kids with their Bibles as we came to study the Word. But for the first half an hour, I had to listen to them, and they were reciting verses of Scripture and reciting from the Child's Catechism as well. And we just rejoice with our brother John, that you see in this photograph, and the children there. We had the opportunity to speak today. The writing there is a wee bit out of the picture, but we had the opportunity this morning to preach to a tribal group in Pakistan through our sister Deep. And this is some of the folks that were at the assembly this morning. I want to sincerely thank all who have been involved in the youth work on a Tuesday night youth challenge. And you see some of the kids getting their prizes last Tuesday night, and you should be able to hear them sing if our technology is working. Philip shouting out. You know, the remarkable thing about that is I never knew there were actions to that chorus or that hymn. So you see the children there able to do some actions someone has taught them along the way. Just want to squeeze in another wee announcement here, and that is Sammy and Drina Stewart are with us, and they celebrate 55 years married today on this day. No? She's shaking her head. 65 years. 55 years. That's the message I was given. So anyhow, maybe it's around that and maybe around this date. So we congratulate you in the Lord's name. Now, it would be remiss of me if I didn't thank you sincerely for the very kind day arranged last Lord's Day to mark 25 years in Ballymoney. And I just want to say from the depths of my heart, thank you in the Savior's precious name for those who came, friends that traveled in for the occasion, just to be part of the service. So thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your gifts. And the beautiful 25th anniversary cake that we got on Friday night at the dinner. That was another big surprise. Susan says, we look stupid in that photograph. I'll allow you to judge for yourself. I think I look more stupid than she does, but there you go. Anyhow, maybe it was the photographer. I'm going to ask our brother Phil just to read a letter. It's easier for me to thank you by somebody else reading a letter of thanks to the congregation. He's going to do that now. Thank you very much.
With Hebrew, but no big words, so there's no big words today. To the session committee and congregation of Hebron, dear brethren and sisters, greetings in the Saviour's precious name. I thank Almighty God for the high honour He has bestowed upon me to be your pastor. I want to express my deepest gratitude for all your love and kindness. Thank you for such a special day to mark my 25 years as minister of this congregation. There was a lot of work and behind-the-scenes effort made to bring this all together. Your kind expressions and tributes, though highly exaggerated, touched our hearts deeply. Susan and I appreciate the lovely and generous gifts received. Thank you in the Saviour's precious name. And what a joy it was to hear the Hebron choir once again. Looking back over 25 years, it seems but a blink which has gone by so quickly into eternity. In the many varied circumstances of our ministry, we have proved the unfailing faithfulness of the Lord, whom we seek to serve among you. I have enjoyed every aspect of ministry, from the children's and youth work to the seniors of the congregation. As I indicated last Sabbath, I could never have imagined how pastor and people could have gelled so well for this long period of time. And truly, no minister could ask for a better congregation, a praying church, a godly people, members who fear God and seek to walk with Him, spiritual elders and deacons who work together as God intended, an evangelistic church, a missionary-minded church, and young people who come with me on outreach, including the mission field. I thank God for those who have come alongside to labor, to pray, and to promote the kingdom of Christ among men in this town and further afield. God has been pleased to give me those who have been true friends and colleagues, encouragers and counsels, as well as guides. Sincere thanks to the session and committee who labor so well together for the glory of God, for the good of the congregation, and in support of their pastor. We are the body of Christ, co-laborers together in the work of the gospel. We give God all the glory for everything that He has accomplished. It is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. Most of all, I pay tribute to my blessed Lord and Savior for His unfailing love, faithfulness, mercy, and grace. To a very faltering servant who has failed and come short many times, but he has remained faithful. I have indicated that my testimony is reflected in the words of the Apostle Paul when standing before King Agrippa, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Whatever days and years God has still ordained for me in this life, I will seek to serve Him with all of my heart, soul, strength, and mind. Sincerely in Christ, and on behalf of Susan, your pastor David Park. And of course, the Bible reference, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labors are not in vain in the Lord. We want to express again a word of thanks to our pastor for this lovely letter, and we trust that the Lord will continue to bless his labors amongst us.
Thank you, Phil, and thank you to the congregation. And what we wrote there, we mean with all of our hearts. I'm going to sing together the hymn 300, Hallelujah, Thine the Glory. Trust the Lord will speak to us through this hymn today. My God, I have found the thrice blessed ground where life and where joy and true comfort abound. The man that wrote this hymn was converted to Christ through the text that I'm going to preach on tonight. Let's hear you sing it with unto the Lord and with grace and with power. Amen. Be seated. Returning to 2 Chronicles 25, we have been doing a series, of course, in the Gospel of Mark, and I was coming back to Mark. I did announce that last Lord's Day, but there's a text here that the Lord has impressed upon my heart, and I believe He wants me to preach it, and there's been a number of confirmations in my heart about this. And so, we're turning to chapter 25 of 2 Chronicles, reading together the opening 12 verses. Amaziah was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 20 and 9 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew his servants that had killed the king, his father. But he slew not their children, but did as is written in the law, in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. And there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home, wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people, and went to the valley of Salt, and smote the children of Seir 10,000. And other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive, and brought them unto the top of the rock, and cast them down from the top of the rock, that they were all were broken in pieces. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Let's bow together in prayer. As we sung the hymn, so it is the very burden of our heart that you will revive us again. We need revival, Lord, and we see that every day as we look at our own hearts, let alone looking out into the nation and seeing the sin, and out into the province and seeing the departure. And in our own town, we have a people that know not God and have no time for thee. But Lord, we just look into our own hearts and we sense and feel the need for a work of grace, for the moving of God, for the revival of the Holy Ghost. Send it upon us, we pray. And bless your word as we, Lord, think about it today and understand that the Lord is able to do great and mighty things which we know not. We pray that you will come and speak to this people. Give us attentiveness. Help us to sit up and listen to your word. We ask in Jesus' all precious name. Amen. What I want to speak on is the unchanging God of the exceeding abundant. I'm taking for my text the end of verse 9, where it says, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. This little text of scripture was shared by one of our elders on the session WhatsApp group just there on Tuesday past, and it really struck my heart and it challenged my soul. As I pondered this text, I couldn't help but think of what may be the New Testament equivalent to this Old Testament verse in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, my elder shared this text in light of the 25 years that God has graciously given to us here. But I couldn't help but reflect over the 70 years of our history and to those monumental times when God moved graciously in power and in mercy. In April 1951, the Foundation Mission was conducted in the old schoolhouse at Cabra when 100 souls were converted to Christ. In 1972, the Reverend Elliot was the evangelist at the Ballymoney Mission when 57 people professed faith in Christ. We have had other outstanding missions. In 1997, just after I came to Ballymoney, we had the Millennium Mission in the year 2000. We had the Jubilee Mission in the year 2001. And I think of more recent outreach missions to Dervock, to Balnamore, the high school, the Glebe side behind us here. And souls were saved. Well, not in their dozens or in their hundreds, but here and there, there were men and women getting right with God, and we greatly rejoiced in the day of small things. I could draw your attention to special prayer meetings that have been held. Fervent prayers, broken hearts, weeping eyes, desires for Christ and His glory, which were very evident in those seasons of prayer. And many of you recall such times because you were there. We've known breaths of God in our Sunday school work and in our youth ministry. When the Lord moved among our young people, blessed and memorable times. We think of the many who have been called into the Lord's work from this church into full-time service over the years. It has been a constant seal to the witness and the work of this house. It is in contemplation of these things that we remember the goodness and the grace of God in all that He has done. And immediately, without question, without hesitation, we give God the glory for all that He has accomplished. We lift our Ebenezer to the Lord and we say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." We declare this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. These were marvelous days, times of visitation, days of heaven upon the earth, the movings of the gracious Holy Spirit of God. And yet it is true that we can say in the words of our text in 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 9, the Lord is able to give much more than this. Amaziah was one of the godly kings of Judah who succeeded his father Joash to the throne. He bore the kind of testimony that every child of God ought to have. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And there's only two kinds of ways that you can walk in this life before God. And it's summed up in the history of the kings of Judah and Israel. You either do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord, or you do that which is evil in the eyes of the Lord. Here's a king, and he did that which was right. He was a godly man, walking in the fear of the Lord, not perfect, as we have read, but striving after godliness and seeking to please the one with whom we have to do and before whom we're going to stand one day. You ought to remember that in passing. The one that we have to do with is God Himself in this life. And He's the one before whom we're going to give an account one day. As Amaziah assembles his army and he makes up the best kind of militia that he could possibly have in place, he hired 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel, paying 100 talents of silver. As they go to war, a man of God is sent with a message from the Lord. The message really, in summary, that says, do not take Israel with you because the Lord is not with Israel. Amaziah thinks of the money that he had spent on hiring this mighty army. But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And it is at this point that the messenger of God speaks up and he declares the words of my text. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Now, the situation here was a financial one. God is able to recompense His children who lose out some way financially, especially when there's a principle involved, when right and wrong is involved. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Our Heavenly Father holds the funds of his treasury of great supply. And what a Christian might lose for the sake of truth and what is right doesn't really matter, because the Lord owns the cattle on a thousand hills and the wealth of every land. He can repay a thousandfold if he so desires. However, the statement of our text is exceedingly far-reaching in its application. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. These are wonderful and challenging applications for us to ponder today. I look back over these 25 years and more. Some of you are able to go back all the 70 years to our beginnings. And I want to impress upon your hearts this truth that is declared in our text, which is as relevant and as up to date today as when it was first declared 2,900 years ago. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Three things that I want to say to you that came to my heart that I'm burdened about today that I believe that God can give to us in the much more that he gives. First of all, the Lord is able to give much more souls for the kingdom of Christ. It ought to be the longing of every child of God to see sinners converted to Christ, our families won to the Savior, our friends brought in redemption to Christ, our neighbors reached with the glorious gospel of Christ. Sinners around us every day are perishing in their sin. They're lost. They're hell-bound. They're going down as fast as their feet can carry them. They are rushing headlong into their own destruction. And the question is, do we really care for the souls of men? Are we disturbed that the vast majority around us are out of Christ without a Savior? Does it trouble us deeply that if they died today, and they may, that they would go out into the caverns of the damned without hope to suffer in the fires of hell forevermore? Has the burden of the great Apostle Paul ever weighed heavily upon your heart? When he said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Is that the burden that you have today for the lost around you? Have you ever approached unto the expressions that he used in the previous chapter in Romans chapter 9, when the apostle, speaking again of the great burden that weighed upon his heart, spoke of continual heaviness and sorrow that weighed upon him as he thought about his own people, his family, and the nation of Israel, and could wish himself a curse from Christ for their sake? You want to study Romans chapter 9 and the opening three verses. Have we ever got anywhere near that kind of burden? How often have we prayed over the lines of Will Houghton's hymn and really meant it, lead me to some soul today. Lord, teach me just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few there are who seem to care. Few there are who pray. Melt my heart. Fill my life. Give me one soul today. In the 70 years of our witness and gospel preaching, God has been pleased to burden his people. He's given them a vision. He sent them forth to be a witness. He has granted to them the soul winner's compassion. In that first Cabra mission, there was a man sent by God whose name was Ian Paisley. He was just a 24-year-old young evangelist, and he came with a burdened heart and was most passionate in his preaching, calling sinners to Christ. The hearts of the people were touched. That was evident in their prayers, in the outreach that they did, and the desire to bring sinners to the meetings. We read in our history book of men like Bob Scott, a young convert who was full of fire, who did visitation around the homes where the mission was held. Samuel Chestnut brought a tractor and trailer filled with people eager to hear the word. And we know of special times of prayer held after the gospel meetings, and some of them continued to the early hours of the morning. No wonder God moved in such a manifested way. 100 people professing faith in Christ. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. But we need to be in the place where God desires us to be, in holiness of life, in the prayer meetings of the church, with that zealous spirit to bring men under the sound of the gospel. When the Reverend Cairns was in Cabra, there was a period when crowds attended like they had never dreamed of. There was a 9-month period when souls were saved every Sunday except one. God really visited his people, and there was a spirit of expectancy. There was a notable time when God's power was evident among the youth fellowship members. The Reverend Cairns told the young people one evening that he was not going to preach on that occasion, but just talk to them. And as he began to speak, tears began to flow, and there was an obvious brokenness over sin. That night, 2 girls trusted Christ as Savior. One of them was Moira Halliday. Oh, my dear friends, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. What can I say about the 76 mission? We often refer to this visitation of God. Again, the congregation was much in prayer. The preparations were intense and carried forward with a clear burden in the hearts of God's people. The Reverend Elliot preached with power, and there was great conviction in the meetings. The church was packed every night, almost every night, and best of all, souls were saved. 53 at the mission and 4 more at the prayer service that was held at the conclusion of the mission. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. In 25 years, God has been pleased to help this weak earthen vessel to preach Christ and Him crucified. It has been my highest honor to be asked by the session to be the evangelist at many of our missions, especially the outreach missions, when we've gone to a community hall or a school or put up a tent. In those seasons when God's people worked and prayed and looked to the Lord with expectation, God was pleased to come down. His presence was known. His power bestowed. His saving grace imparted. And many of you sitting in this church building today are fruits of those missions. I think of the Sunday gospel services, family nights, other special outreach meetings, when again the Lord visited and precious souls were converted. Last month we had the joy of pointing souls to Christ. A dear woman, one night after our gospel meeting, and a dear man out in the village of Balnamore where he lives. We think of children who have professed faith in Christ, even this year, one of them being one of my own grandchildren, a granddaughter, and another one being Ivor's grandson. I remember the night when Davy Davison was saved at the gospel mission in the schoolhouse. I remember when Eamon came to trust Christ that Sunday night after one of the services, and so many others. Tracy Hegarty, as she was then, was one of the first fruits of the 25 years. And we say today, to God be the glory, great things He has done. But I also want to declare, with every fiber of my being, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. During these 25 years, your pastor has had the privilege of visiting the mission field in various parts of the world. And there too, souls have been saved in Kenya, Uganda, Brazil, Romania, and even in Pakistan. Our young people remember our vocational Bible school to Uganda 2 years ago. that was owned of God in so many ways. And the Lord was among us. And he was pleased to move in a way that I personally have never, ever witnessed in my entire ministry, when 100 young people professed faith in Christ, 75 at the school and 25 at a different location when we went down to hold a pastor's conference. But the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Will you not pray to that end? Will you not labor to that end? Will you not look to the Lord? Will you not get out to the place of prayer to call upon the Lord? Our town is perishing for want of the gospel, and few there are who care. Our families are wrecked by sin. The majority around us are cold and carnal and careless about their immortal souls. I pray for a great awakening. My friends, the Lord's able. I want to say, secondly, that the Lord is able to give us much more than this when we think of servants in the Master's vineyard. The Lord has been pleased in his merciful providence to raise from this congregation men and women for his work. Over the years, he has given pastors and teachers, elders and deacons, Sunday school teachers, children's workers, youth leaders, school teachers, musicians, singers, laborers in the media team, manual workers, prayer warriors, outreach workers, gifted men and women and young people with their respective God-given talents to make the body of Christ function well in this place. The Lord has also raised up ministers and missionaries, called them into full-time service. Fred Buick commenced studies for the ministry in 1970. Was ordained to the Christian ministry in 1973 and served the Lord for a little time here in the town of Banbridge. He then left for Australia in 1978 to serve Christ. Albert McCauley served as our home missionary from the 1st of February 1977 until the Lord called him home. John Hanna went through Bible College, and he traveled to Spain with his wife, Narana, on the 13th of April, 1977, and has been there ever since. Pat Mills did the missionary course at the Whitfield College, having felt the call of God at one of our missionary weekends. She spent 4.5 years in the city of Cork before embarking upon the great calling that the Lord had appointed for her, and that was working with the Jewish people in the city of Toronto, Canada. And she went there in 1989. Noreen McAfee, who was fully involved in Christian ministry, both in our school and in our church, she left Ballymoney in August 2000 to become a missionary teacher in Africa. Anne McCauley went to the Whitfield College in 1988 and became a gifted children's evangelist here in her home congregation. Others have become pastors' wives, Janice Buick and Joy McCauley, and they serve as helpmeets. Armin Tomassian, having completed his theological training, went to North America in 2015. Joshua Moffat, likewise, after his training, went to Bangor just 2 years ago, and Leah is his helpmeet there in the ministry. And we have other students in training: Jonathan Story, David McCauley, and Greg Gibson. And Dipankar Nandi has come under our wing and the care of our church recently as well. This is what God has done. These are the ones that the Lord has raised up and sent forth. But the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And I'm praying to that end that from this church, the Lord will raise others. Maybe even this very day, as you sit in the house of God, you have to admit that God has been dealing with you in recent weeks. Maybe even today, as you sit there, the Lord is calling you. Take up the cross and follow me, says Jesus. Go work today in my vineyard. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. The Lord is able to give more servants in the Master's vineyard. The third thought is that the Lord is able to give much more when it comes to spiritual revival. He's able to give spiritual revival in the hearts of God's people. Do you know those times when God has come very near, when heaven seems to come down, when the fire of revival is kindled in our hearts? You know those times when you were lifted out of the ordinary and transported into the extraordinary? I've been there, and so many of you have been there also. Well, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. There are very few of you who can travel back to the beginnings in 1951 for obvious reasons. You're just not that old. But some of you can. And you'll remember the blessing of revival in those days when God's people were stirred up and God moved in a mighty way. Many more can remember the 76 mission and what God was doing, not only in the saving of all those souls, but in the hearts of his people, because that's where it begins. What about those other times? Almost too sacred to speak about. God has moved. Well, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. However, such spiritual blessings do not happen without earnest, fervent supplication and prayer. Prayer is the key to the mighty doings of God. Ye have not because ye ask not. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee what? Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There is a very powerful challenge here for us all. May God come and search out our hearts right now. If we are to see the much more than this of precious souls coming to Christ, we must pray. I mentioned what Paul said as he spoke about his burden. My heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We need to pray. If others are to be thrust out into the harvest fields at home and abroad, we must get before the Lord in earnest prayer. That's what Jesus taught us. We're to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Spiritual awakening and revival always begins with God's people assembled in prayer. There's no other way. There's no shortcuts when it comes to this. You think of Pentecost. Pentecost did not happen until the people of God were in prayer. And you can think about 1859, the great revival that came to this country. It did not happen until God moved in the hearts of his people to pray. Every major revival has its origin in prayer. So where are God's praying people in the nation? God looks down and he searches out among us, looking for interceders, looking for people to stand in the gap, make up the hedge. And the sad reality, very often he finds none. Some people, including professing Christians, can get fired up about all kinds of things. Isn't that right? They can get fired up about politics. They can get fired up about abortion, same-sex marriages, vaccines, you name it. But where is the sole concern of heart when it comes to the awful departure of our nation, the sins of our people, the lost and the perishing out there? Of course, many of these other things that I've mentioned and more besides are important and they have their place. But never forget the fundamentals and the basics. The Great Commission, that's fundamental. Living a God-glorifying life, that's elementary. Obedience to the simplest commands of Scripture, that's basic. I fear for our families in our country when professing Christians are consumed by other things like business, like politics, like sport, and other things, while their families are rushing to hell and the land is perishing for want of the gospel. The saddest thing is for Christians not to be walking with God not to be representing Christ, not to be living godly and righteously, as the Scripture teaches, in this present evil world, not to be abounding in the work of the Lord. Some ask the question, where is God in the midst of trouble? That's an age-old question. It's been asked since the beginning of days. Where's God in the midst of war? Where's God in the midst of famine? Where's God in the midst of pestilence? Where's God in the midst of coronavirus, you might say? Where's God in 9/11? One of the great preachers wrote a little booklet entitled that, Where is God in 9/11? But you know, God might be just asking the question, where are you? Where's my people? When it comes to the prayer meeting, have we forgotten the text that we have up every Sunday from 2 Chronicles 7:14? When situations arise, whether it's war or famine or pestilence, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, if they turn from their sin, God promises that he will hear their prayer and that he will come and heal the land. If my people do what? Pray. That, my friends, is the key. Where are the praying people of God? What answer would you give to the Lord as he searches your heart now? Men and women, young people who ought to be at the prayer meeting crying to God for much more than this. Are you saying to God, as we think of Thursday night's prayer meeting or any other prayer meeting, there's a Sunday morning one, there's a Sunday evening one, are you saying to God, I have more important things to do? Are you saying to the Lord, I'm out with my friends, and that's more important than prayer? Or maybe you're saying to the Lord, it's training night and I have to be there. Or you're saying, I'm doing overtime to make money. Or I'm sitting, far worse, I'm sitting at home watching television and I'm not at the prayer meeting. And you say you're concerned for souls. You're concerned for the nation. You want to see revival. I tell you, my friends, the Lord is able to give much more than this. And maybe you're asking the question, where is God? But God's asking, where are you? Where are you? Are these your excuses? 52 weeks in a year and every year? Is that what you're saying to God every single week? You know, I understand when someone can't get to the prayer meeting occasionally and there's pressing duties. I understand. I understand when people are sick and they can't get to the prayer meeting. I understand when there's pressing family duties to attend to and people can't get to the prayer meeting. But does that happen every single week? Every Thursday night? You've got a legitimate excuse before Almighty God, before whom you will stand one day, and you'll be able to look him in the face and say, here's God, the reason why I was not at the prayer meeting. And I'm speaking as your pastor today, as one who has loved you dearly. And if you've been in this church for 25 years, I have loved you for 25 years. If you've come more recently, I have loved you in those days that you have been here. And I'm speaking from my heart. I'm speaking as I think of your family. I'm speaking as I think of this town and this country. God says, where art thou? You know, we cannot expect the much more than this unless we give the much more than what we're given. Oh, my dear Christian, you profess to know the Lord. You say that you're troubled for the souls of men. Where are you when it comes to any of the prayer meetings of this church? My precious young people, I yearn over you, and you know that. And I've challenged you often from this pulpit and also on a Friday night. Where are you when it comes to prayer? See, my friends, changes need to be made. Covenants need to be entered into. Not vain covenants that you're going to break the next day. But vows that you will make and vows that you will pay to Almighty God. Consideration needs to be given because that's what God says. In one of the minor prophets, he says, consider your ways. And that's what we need to do. As we think of a mighty text like this, the Lord's able to give much more than this. And maybe you're asking, where is God in the midst of my circumstances? Where is God in the midst of what's going on in the country? God maybe is just asking the question, where are you? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the greatness of God. We thank thee for God's work in this world, the carrying out of his divine plans, including our own lives. And Lord, today you've given us a promise that you're able to do much more than this. As we think back over 70 years and any given period of time when God has moved with power. But Lord, we can't expect the much more unless we fulfill our obligations before God. And we know that prayer is the key. Challenge our heart. Challenge my heart. Lord, I speak to my own soul today. Help me to be more fervent and earnest in my supplications, both privately and publicly. And remember your people here for good and send that breath of revival to every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. I surrender all. Can we sing it and mean it? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. We'll just sing two verses of the hymn in closing. We'll sing the first one and the last one. Gracious God, help this preacher to mean what he sings, and help me to surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, in contemplation of what you have done for me. Help me to surrender all. And O God, quicken my steps in the right direction. At the end of 25 years, and as we begin for another little time, and only God knows how little time we have, publicly in this church, I surrender all. And I pray that you'll take this pastor and use me for your glory. Help me to be an example to the flock. And we pray that you'll bless the session and the committee and the members of the church and the adherents who come here, all who profess the holy name of Jesus as their Redeemer. Lord, we pray your blessing will rest upon them and their families and bring about the changes that need to be made, the transformations in all of our lives, and separate us now with your blessing, and bring us again to the gospel service tonight as we think upon Christ our Redeemer, in whose name we pray. Amen.